Good morning, everyone. Actually, the first thing I'd probably encourage you to do is to actually move closer down to the front for two reasons. First of all, the ceilings are higher the farther down you go, which means the airflow is perhaps a little bit better and a little bit cooler. And number two, we probably dropped a few heavy hints that this was not going to be a real formal presentation of this session. It was really more a kind of a follow-up from the plenary session yesterday. So we're really sincerely hoping that we'll get some questions and even some dialogue going between the members of the development team here and all of you in the audience that want to get participating. Now, I think I was so proudly mentioning yesterday how it was only the second time that we'd actually had the whole development team literally in the same physical space at the same time. I gather because we now have Yvonne up on the stage also, we can sort of make another claim. And Alex disappears.
He'll be back in a second.
Okay, he'll be back.
It's actually not possible for all of us to be in this
moment.
One of us has to go.
Where, for the first time, all the five sort of most active members of the development team are literally in the same time and space. Because I might have mentioned, and I wanted to use this line yesterday, so I'll use it again today, that Kevin actually resides in a locale that's famous for two things, the giant nickel and the super stack. And if any of you are familiar with kind of Canadian folklore, you can probably figure out where it is. Who knows where Kevin lives? Alan was nodding his head. Sudbury, Ontario, which is about as remote and black fly infested as you can get in just about any part of Canada. And Juan is now actually, I think, south of the equator, correct?
Yeah, living in Buenos Aires.
There we go. So we have literally a development team, and even Alec, who is not here right now, just maintaining the fine tradition that the team can never be in the same place at the same time. Even though he actually lives in Vancouver, the way that he is hired under the contract is it's what's known as an independent contractor. So under those terms and conditions, we can't literally have him on site at SFU Library. He works from home. So about every few months or so, we may actually meet in person. Obviously, there's a lot of email communication that goes on. But and who else can I make fun of? I think maybe we'll leave it at that.
You can make fun of the three of us for being
outside. Oh, like here's that. Alec now. Just guess what we volunteered you for, Alec.
What did you volunteer me for?
You'll find out soon. This is going to be a very informal session if you haven't already figured that out by now, but we'll try and start it off with, I think, just two slightly more formal presentations. Alec, first of all, is going to just quickly go through a few slides to just talk about some of the different activities or areas in which we're really hoping we can get some more participation from the PKP community out there. And then Mark is actually going to provide a summary. We had a couple of pre-conference workshops on Wednesday, one of which is what we called a plug-in workshop. And if we'd really been pushing the kind of technology angle, we'd have even pushed it further and we'd have had an all-day, what's often known as a hack fest. And Lily had nothing but as much sort of coding or programming going on for the better part of the day. And then this would have been the session where we would have been reporting out on the great code that had been developed during the past 2 days, when rather than listening to presentations, we had people busily writing on plugins and so forth. But we're not quite there yet. But we do have, I think, a rather interesting list of suggestions or proposals for things that could be worked on in the near future. So we think that might be a good way just to initiate some discussion, further suggestion or comments from you and the audience there. So, Alec, I'll turn it over to you now.
As Brian said, this is a more formal presentation first, so anybody without shirts or shoes, please wait in the lunch area. The fellow in the back particularly. Nobody looked. All right. Just checking.
They already left.
I did.
Okay, so I have a couple of notes on not so much development priorities. That was yesterday. More along the lines of what's happened with the OGS code development and where we've come through and what sort of character those developments have had and where we're going next. The initial release of OGS 2.0 was on May 15th, 2005, so that's been out there for a few years. That represented a huge amount of brand new code that we've been able to test and refine since then. That initial release was a very good release. We're very proud of it. It did have a lot of small issues and some lacking features and so on that people very quickly started to come to us about. Since then, we've managed to refine it quite a bit, and we've had a number of subsequent releases, four releases just of OJS, two releases of the Harvester, and a fresh release of OCS based on the same platform. Because those all share common code, we've been able to sort of leverage additions to one and merge those back into the other two. So the overall code of the core has matured and expanded since that initial release with a number of common features that we're always building on. CAPTCHA support for to prevent spammers, some email capabilities, form capabilities, and template capabilities. These are all development and API sorts of things. Also, security's been, we've been able to leverage a common and very secure set of code so that we haven't had a lot of issues there. We've always been refining these things since that initial release, and that's affected all three of the applications. So that's several years of refinement, and in internet time, 2 years is a long time. Since roughly the release of OGS 2.1.1, which is the current release, the character of our own developments has changed, and also the character of the community has changed. We've been able to shift from working on core bug fixes and missing features that were commonly being requested for OGS. We've been able to shift from those to moving on to more of the things that we've been waiting to work on and would like to work on, which is some of the nicer features, some infrastructural improvements, some of the more pleasant things to work on that are not sort of catching up since that initial release of OGS 2.0. We've been fine-tuning, we've been looking at ways to tweak the workflow, improving applicability, and this conference has been very interesting for me, and I'm sure for the rest of the development team and John as well, because we've been able to look at where OGS has gone in a way that we haven't really had the chance to before, and see where people are using it, and what they're using it for, and where it does work with the system and where it doesn't work with the system, so we can then take this feedback and make the system more applicable. And since we're spending less time working on catching up for bug fixes and new features that have been commonly requested since OGS 2.0, we can now start to focus on improving applicability and making sure that we can basically satisfy the different requirements of all the different journals that are out there. John's initial workflow design has been fantastic, but there are a number of changes that people have been asking for that we'd like to be able to take on now. With that, attendant with that is user contributions. And we've been seeing a lot of presentations about how people have taken and adapted OGS to meet their own needs, whether that be simple layout changes, whether it be simply configuring OGS, whether it be getting right in there and developing with it. We saw a few different waves of development. The first was we're getting a bit of feedback. The first was through affiliated organizations that we've got close ties with, such as CCSP. They contributed the subscriptions module and the thesis plugin module. And we also had some translations, for example, Portuguese from IBICT, which is an organization we've worked well with, and Ramon's been tireless in his contributions to OGS. Those were affiliated organizations, and often those were people we were working with. Since then, sort of a second wave of contributions started coming our way, which is people that we didn't have prior contact with, that were coming to us with primarily translations. We have a large number of translations listed here that came to us because people picked up the software, found it useful, and of their own volition and with their own time contributed code sometimes and translations mostly. And translations may seem like a small task compared to implementing a new piece of code, but actually to put together a translation, particularly to maintain a translation, is a huge commitment of time. So that was the first major wave of external contributions we saw. The third one now is actually large feature-wise contributions, and I've spoken quite a bit in various sessions I've been in regarding localization capabilities for multilingual journals. That's going to be a very exciting one. Review forms have been written, I've tested them, and we're hoping to merge those in a near release. Banner ads, we had a journal that was interested in adding banner ads, and so they contributed to allow for the development of those. And then these are all features that we've had people coming to us to develop or that they've developed of their own accord. These are major investitures of time by some very talented developers. And it's very exciting for us because it means that we can start to see people implementing features that they've seen a need for in a way that suits their own needs, which is a very specific application, whereas what we try and do is we try and survey what is out there, how people are using the system, and write new features in a generic fashion. So it's a different approach to development, and we see different kinds of things coming our way, more specific features, and features that are driven much more directly by what users and the editors and so on are asking for. So as growing pains decrease, as people sort of get over the initial launch of their journals, and many journals that have been adopting OGS do take some time to define their own policies, to figure out how the system works, to get those initial back issues imported, and to really launch the journal. It takes quite a bit of time. Whereas as we see some journals reach that point and get over that threshold and start to really move forward with the system, they're able to free up their own time and to understand their own requirements to start to develop and contribute back. A few things that are needed. Testing has been, we've seen some uptake from other organizations. I'll talk about our release process in a second. Basically, testing, especially on different journals and on different data sets using different configurations, helps us very much to anticipate what sorts of responses we'll get from people when we release a new version and they upgrade to it. We've got a very dedicated and volunteer testing team, and they've been extremely good at testing, but because they're working within the PKP's own testing environment, they do test with journal data that's provided by John, by myself, and by the other developers, which tends to be not the blind leading the blind, but we tend to test within the environments that we've coded for specifically. And for a proper testing environment, the more variety of data we can see, the better. So if anybody is interested in testing, we are going to be maintaining a list of people who are interested in doing so. And prior to a release of OGS, we'll be making it available for testers to try out. And the more you become involved with the testing process, the more feedback we get, and the better that your journal will be able to use features in the future. Feedback. Speaking of feedback, technical feedback is wonderful. Many users on the support forum have come back to us and said, fantastic, here's what we're using, here's what we are not using, here's what we need. And the more of that we hear, especially requests, me toos, for the same features, the more we'll be prioritizing those for future releases. And we are making a roadmap, of OGS developments public. And so we'll be able to get solicit feedback and also hopefully take user comments on that roadmap to make it part of the community as well. Now, the big picture in integration, this is one that I often, as the lead developer, don't have enough perspective on because I'm so busy working on particular features within OJS, is the bigger picture. Often when a journal is running using OJS, they'll have more requirements than just for OJS. They'll have a website, they'll have possibly user forums, they'll have all those sorts of things. And those are things that we would love to facilitate. We'd love to be able to offer a larger package of perhaps other open source tools that we can then integrate with and provide basically a site in a box that will be able to meet some of the other needs for users that have journal as one requirement. And so we'll be, rather than developing those ourselves, rather than developing, for example, a more comprehensive user feedback forum and so on within OJS, we'd rather look at what's out there already. There's some very well-proven open source applications such as MediaWiki and Drupal that some journals have already taken some beginning steps to integrating into a coherent package. We'd love to facilitate that. We'd love to be able to recommend a particular assortment of tools. And we'd love to see people start to be able to develop more of the interactive features to step out of the traditional journal publishing structure and start to look at what the internet can bring to reading online. People often complain that reading in an online environment is clunky, that PDFs are not as easy to use and as attractive as paper. That's true, and displays are always evolving, but there's a potential also to not just look at becoming as good as paper publishing, but stepping much beyond that. And John's reading tools are a fantastic part of that. We'd like to additionally stray from tradition, the tradition of a print publication, by including some of the features that people are starting to explore that the internet can offer in particular, such as open review processes. There's still a huge discussion going on over what an open review process is and how it can work and how it can offer an improved review and a more a broader review than the traditional review process, which is in some ways reflects much more traditional communication methods than you can now offer with the online environment. Likewise, less linear processes. OJS tends to have a very linear workflow. The submission comes in, steps through all the various processes, and then is published at the end. We want to be able to support continuous publication models. We want to be able to support various kinds of feedback. Anybody who is here for the Open Medicine presentation saw the rapid response feature that they've developed. And that's the kind of feedback that can only come to us via external journals because they've seen an immediate need for it. They've often developed it themselves. And they're the ones who are seeing on the ground how users are making use of it. A very, very brief note on the release process. I'm going on a bit longer than my time. Those guys are going to have to wait. We have a development process. We have, at a certain point, a feature freeze where we stop adding new features to the code. We begin our translation updates and testing, which is where I'd love to have some participation from the community. We may be doing a public beta if we have enough interest in it. So if there is interest in public beta, please contact me. We then do the release itself, and then sometimes when we catch something that we missed, generally about 5 minutes after we've released the package, we release again. And we've been trying to slow the release process because the OGS release process up until version 2.0.1 was fairly frequent, and we don't want to impose punitive requirements on users who don't necessarily have a lot of technical resources that they'd be upgrading every couple of months. So we haven't really addressed Web 2.0, and I hesitate to use that term because I hate buzzwords. Fortunately, it's not a three-letter acronym. It's almost as bad. But there are a few places where Web 2.0 type features will come into play, I expect, in the near future with OJS. One complaint we've had from users is that often submissions become somewhat lost in the process. An editor who comes in every once in a while, who may have many other responsibilities and obligations, comes into the system and they see a list of submissions in some state in the system. They don't know what needs their attention most, and they don't know exactly where to go for it. So we're going to start to look at ways of color coding, of notifying users when a certain thing happens in ways that are sort of stepping outside the current method, which is email-based notifications, and then looking through a list for that particular submission. We'd also like to break up some of the user interface sprawl. We'll be working on usability this fall. Because of the, particularly in the case of the editor's interface, it's a very powerful interface, but at first glance, it's somewhat complicated to use. And so we'd like to try and organize hierarchically with perhaps collapsing segments of interface that section of things so that the editor will have less of this immense control panel staring them in the face when they want to work with the submission. That's all I have for now. I guess we'll move on to
Mark.
Okay. To Mark.
Do you want to use a laptop? Or?
No, I'll use one.
Musical chairs.
Okay, this is a very rough, really transcription of the suggestions for plugins that came out of Wednesday afternoon's plugin workshop. And what I'm going to do is just go through them briefly, just to explain what they are, since they lack any real context here and may not be obvious. But what I'd like to do is ask you to start thinking while I'm droning on here about what kinds of functionality you would like to suggest, because this list is basically something that came out of more or less a round table at the workshop. MJ, after Alex's introduction to how plugins work and so forth, MJ got up and put these on the flip chart, and I copied them down at the very last minute before we left for the day. So please start thinking about what kind of things you'd like to see in OJS, what kinds of not necessarily things that are maybe scoped more appropriately to a plugin, but even broader things. And someone here will take better notes than I took on Wednesday. Import transaction rollback was one that came up. Basically, importing back issues into OJS is becoming quite a common set of activities, mainly because of digitization of back issues or importing from another system and migrating to OJS. And thanks a lot. One of the things that we thought was useful, I guess, coming out of the DSpace kind of feature set is a way to basically either make sure that the import act is not interrupted somewhere in the middle and spoiling the whole import process. And for large data sets, this can be a major issue, of course. Rollback refers to the ability to delete or go back to the state that the journal was in just before you imported, which may be useful as well. Statistics are a kind of a problem that has plagued us for some time, because statistics, everyone wants different statistics. And OJS does have statistics built into it, but of a certain limited set, and we'd like to know what kinds of statistics other sites would like, other journals, and I guess maybe in a general way, what kind of tool you would like to see that would be flexible enough to let you do certain kinds of reports. Ad hoc reports. That's a difficult and challenging kind of tool set to develop, but probably one that's more realistic given that many sites have their own particular needs. Arbitrary metadata gateway. I actually am not sure what this refers to.
Yeah, that was that was an idea that came up about having sort of like a web service where somebody could arbitrarily query different kinds of metadata from OJS. So statistics might even come into that as well, but somebody who, I can't recall who it was or if they're even here, was getting metadata using the web feeds, using the RSS feeds, and wanted to do something a little bit more flexible around that.
Right. I failed to introduce this this portion of the talk by saying that there are several categories of plugins already, and Alec can correct me, but there's a basically an import-export set of plugins. There's what's called a gateway set, which is basically a way of, is it mainly REST services, or is it?
Whatever it wants to be, but yeah.
Okay, so basically a way of interacting with OJS, let's say, for example, through a series of URLs to get information out and possibly in. And the example in this case of getting information out is a Google sitemap by going to a specific URL in the OJS, in the journal. There are user interfaces, there's a user interface category of plugins. What else is there?
Generic.
Okay, and generic is basically whatever doesn't fit into those three or four categories.
Theme is citation formats.
Right. Theming is new, actually. Citation formats is new as well. Direct to DSpace export. We talked about import a minute ago, but direct to DSpace export might be useful for journals who want to basically move into an institutional repository platform like DSpace or ePrints. User tagging thesaurus control vocabulary was an interesting little discussion that we had. And I think the gentleman who mentioned it is here. Do you want to expand on that a little bit, or do you want me to kind of bumble through it? And with regard to assigning the metadata to articles, right now OJS's facility for doing that is a little bit straightforward, let's say, simple. It would be nice to build in some richer functionality there as well. ACL-based permission classes, I swear this is the last one I will claim I don't know what this was. I know what everything else is.
Basically taking the role structure, which is currently fairly fixed, and refactoring it into a...
arbitrary.
So you can have the ability to create your own roles
right.
And find, in a fine-grained way, assign particular permissions to that role.
Okay, right, yeah. This is also an interesting set of discussions around the WYSIWYG special character handling. A gentleman had a requirement that OJS handle things like LaTeX better. We got into quite a discussion about this. I guess ending up at deciding that it might be worth investigating using something like a rich text editor, for example, that's already in use in OJS as a plugin, TinyMCE, which is a WYSIWYG rich text editor for web applications, and extending, either getting something that's specialized in sophisticated formats in the sciences, for example, like LaTeX, or even extending TinyMCE to suit that need, so that people wouldn't have to add special characters by hand and so forth. It would be more in a WYSIWYG environment. Login as behavior should be limited in certain contexts. Currently in OJS, as you probably know, user is one role, typically a higher up in the food chain. For example, a journal manager can log in as another lower role and do things according to that particular role. And apparently in some cases, this is not necessarily a good thing to do for various reasons. There was some desire to be able to control that, perhaps at a journal editor level, so that only certain roles could log in as only other certain roles and so forth. Centralized role management for plugins. I guess this is coming out of the kind of way that something like Drupal handles access control to plugins. So basically now there are three categories of plugins in OJS. There's the site plugin, the journal plugin, and the generic public plugin. Is that correct?
Yes.
So with the richer potential for richer roles in the ACL-based permission classes, there may be a need to build in functionality to plugins such that they're only available to certain kinds of roles within the OJS environment, NOCS environment. So that only editors could access this particular plugin and not end users, for example, or not readers. feature, article, plugin, block. You may have seen on the PKP website that we have a little widget that is that Kevin maintains, where he selects certain conferences, journals, and harvesters as featured X, and it might be used for that as well in OJS. So the editor could identify an article to be a featured article for a certain amount of time, or even randomize that so that it comes up randomly, and that may not be very difficult to do. There's also a desire for more user-friendly error handling and logging. Currently, there is some logging, in particular in OCS2. Alec added a feature where major events in the conference setup, for example, if you change a deadline, that is logged in a control panel or a view for the site administrator. And again, looking at other open source applications which have different ways of logging different kinds of events at a specific granularity, it might be useful to have that in OJS OCS as well. And finally, and then I'm going to turn it over to you and ask you which kind of things you would like to see in OJS and OCS and the Harvester. I think this local private messaging system, PHPBB, this is sort of a chat or even a short message or email system within OJS and OCS that would allow different people to communicate that way instead of over public email or whatever. And I think this is particularly for the review process or for any users. Maybe limited to the review process?
I believe for any users. There's some situations where emails get dropped into spam boxes,
right,
or and so on, where it'd be nice to have a local messaging system.
That's what I meant by public email. Yeah, I mean, you're relying on basically your email client and filters and so forth, which can get in the way. And that, I think that was a particular impetus to suggest this, was that some editorial workflow messages that were shooting back and forth were not being received because they were either being trashed due to spam flags or whatever. Yeah. So if you have any questions on any of these, if any of these seem particularly interesting to you, we'd be happy to discuss them in more detail if we can. And if people here in the audience were at that session as well on Wednesday, please add what we have forgotten to mention. But I guess I'll open the floor, and if anyone has any other kinds of things that they'd like to see in OJS, OCS, and I guess in the Harvester as well. The Harvester plugins are different because they're mainly, you know, new metadata formats and new kind of at the back end. You don't really see them, although they're perfectly valid for suggestions. Hi.
Maybe it's interesting to say that we have especially developed a statistic program on article level,
mm-hmm.
and that's working quite well. And
mm-hmm.
I think we try to apply the plugin for I don't know if anyone would be interested in that.
Yeah.
You can easily see which one are popular and which one are not.
So basically which journals are, which articles are being read the most. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Yes, it's similar to that. In our field, it's very common to go to journals and see which one are the most downloaded.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, thanks. Hello?
Some reviewers prefer to send the review for them as an email-based attachment,
mm-hmm.
and for others as a standard way. I suggest that this function, which is in the setup stage 3, I think, we move it to the per article, per review.
Okay.
Separate icon for to select
file. Okay, thank you. Alec, you're taking that down.
Yeah. Before my battery dies, yeah, I've got about 5 minutes of battery.
Okay.
There's no, I don't see an outlet here.
No, there's got to be
some.
Eric.
Thank you.
Yeah,
to a journal that has a 2-year loop involved.
Sorry.
So that I could, they've got a 1-year subscription, and then they're, they get their expiry, and there's a 2-year renewal, you know, could they somehow still have access to that if they've been a subscriber?
Oh, yeah.
To the past year.
I think this gentleman had his hand up first, then I'll go to you. Pending.
Those articles.
And would you see those articles being fully ready to go or a preprint version? The articles you're referring to, waiting in the queue for the 3 months before the next issue?
Yeah, you could cite them as in press.
Yeah.
Release them.
They would be available.
Yeah. And that would be the final article.
Right. Okay. Kevin, I think there's something you can now have articles available before an issue is ready, right?
Well, you can associate them with a future issue, okay. But they're not
available.
There's also workarounds to suit continuous publication models, and it applies to this as well, where you can create an issue that is your pre-publication issue, make it public, right. And then queue up articles against it as they become available. So it's in effect the same thing, but it's a bit of a workaround currently.
You're talking about something that users can see as a feature on the site, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, like a block or something. Thank you, Robert. I think you had a question.
Yeah, I found that I don't know whether that has been addressed with OJS too, but OJS is sort of lacking in reading tools for non-human. Readers, so yeah. All these
auto-discovery
mechanisms
seem
not to be used so far.
So yeah, actually, Ray here?
Ray?
Yeah.
No, he's in a conference call.
Okay, because Ray was talking about, he approached me yesterday, just before his talk, which I attended, and he wants to talk about adding some of those things, perhaps, to OJS.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right, we should look at that.
Yeah. One small step we've made is we're now embedding Dublin Core metadata as meta tags in the article's abstract page and its full text presentation as well. Yeah. Small step.
There are a lot of micro formats we could look at, for example, or coins or you know, whatever.
Sort of,
yeah.
Finding pretty helpful and
yeah.
On API.
Yeah,
as well,
sure.
Zotero.
Thanks. Rob.
Importing issues through the plugin. But the front end is something that really that we've had to modify that quite a bit just to get people on board, because people would look at the standard OJS page and they would say, well, I don't like that box over on the side. What's that doing there? So I had to go into the Smarty templates and kind of comment out the code.
To simplify, it sounds like you're talking about simplifying the HTML.
That's 2.2, really.
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit along those lines. One could comment on that. I think he wrote the plugin for the layout CMS.
There is a layout plugin now too that lets you move around the blocks using. It's not a drag and drop interface, but it lets you move around and add a second column, you can have a left sidebar or a right sidebar, or you can have both and have a three-column layout view and move around all the different elements and choose if you want to have some that are eliminate them altogether, or if you want to, you know, move them to the left or to the right. It's not quite as sophisticated as with a drag and drop interface, but it is fairly intuitive and easy to use to move around. It's still somewhat limited in terms of how much customization of the layout you can do. It's basically letting you order blocks, move them left or right. In order to add new blocks, for example, it becomes a little bit more involved.
We'll be using that to build upon to add support for new blocks, likely again as plugins in the near future.
With regard to the, can I just follow up with Rob again, because you said the back end was too much effort. You imported, what kind of workflow improvements would you want to see in the editorial, or if it's editorial, submission process?
Mm-hmm. That's the general principle, I think, that you should follow. The other thing that came up a couple of times, and I saw John Maxwell's talk on it.
Right.
New magazine.
Right.
And journals, the business of editing things online so that you have one version of the document rather than all this uploading and back.
Yeah.
You know, back and forth.
Sort of wiki style.
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. With our approach to trying to deconstruct documents and use XML and XML based documents and get them away from, as I sort of said yesterday, being atomic, immutable kind of items and allow the documents to be modified, and more flexibly altered within the context of OJS. So we're looking in that direction. We're looking to go in that direction. It's a big thing to bite off, obviously, but it's definitely something that we're considering. So if you're looking for that, then it means we're doing the right thing.
I think this gentleman back here had a question first. Good. Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, hey. Awesome. Great. That's great to hear. Actually, I mentioned this to John Lunsky yesterday or on Wednesday, and he what he said in his fashion was, but what if the author wants to, you know, click on a button to export it to her DSpace? So sort of an on the fly ingestion into DSpace. And I said, well, I don't think DSpace has a web service for ingesting like that, because no. But isn't it in the feature list, Gabrielle? Uh-huh. Oh. Well, there we go. Right. Okay. Well, we should make sure that we touch base on that, because it would be really nice to have that. That would be a really nice feature. A real Web 2.0 feature, in the sense that you can just shuffle stuff from one platform to the other. There are a lot of trust issues that I can predict, right? I mean, can anyone shoot the journals into your DSpace, for example? Yeah. Very good. Okay. And sorry.
No. Speaking of trust issues, I appreciate a lot of the sort of security that's built into the system, the audit ability that sort of keeps the users from doing really stupid stuff and losing the tracking on articles. But when you're importing journals and getting ready, it creates a whole lot of ghosts. And currently, to get rid of those, it's not that you can't, but it's just that you have to set aside 2 hours of really stupid
some pieces of software, some applications have what's known as a knife-wielding maniac mode, where you can turn off all the confirmations and checks and so on. And having done some large back issue imports myself, rather than solving the problem in a way that would be useful to OGS users, what I did is I just did some small workaround hack that worked for me. So I do apologize for that. So I could foresee a use for that in the future. One thing that I've been speaking with a couple of users about, which is pretty exciting, is ways to facilitate back issue importing as a task. Currently, your options are to go through the 18,000 click process, or also known as the one-click process, or to go through the XML process, which is guaranteed to cause hair loss. But it's very powerful as well. No, so far so good?
No, I haven't lost any hair. It's just gray.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it. So we'd like to offer more alternatives to that process, and one of those could be, and one that somebody's already using actually, I'm very excited to have a look at it, is a sort of a form you can fill in to easily bring in back issues in addition without requiring XML knowledge, without going through the existing submission process. Part of that could well be a set of tools to help facilitate cleanup and so on and so forth. Yeah.
That's
painful.
Related to the transaction, right?
Yeah, that's related to transactional issues.
Yeah. So if there's any mistakes, it doesn't do anything. You're back to where you started.
Yeah.
Part of that's process as well. If you're using a validating XML editor, for example, that'll probably allow you to validate the XML before you go into the import process, and hopefully that'll prevent many of those things from happening. Of course, and I have seen a demonstration from an outside user of OGS very briefly of a system they implemented to allow you to validate the XML using OGS. So before the XML is ingested and used, it runs through a validation process, and that could be a very useful stage. Again, it depends on certain features being there in PHP, which is a platform issue, but it would be a very nice option to offer.
What about a dry run switch?
Again, transactional stuff, yeah.
But even when you go to
yes.
It would be nicer to be asked earlier in that process.
Absolutely, yes.
I don't know how hard that would be.
It's a problem we need to solve, yeah. We've spent a lot of time developing OGS with a particular workflow in mind, and that workflow is for a digital journal that's already established, that is going through the submission process, already has their processes in place, and so on. And so some of the things that are frequently a major part of the setup of a journal, such as importing back issues, getting everything in place, we haven't focused on those as much because those are sort of startup costs and not ongoing work. And so for us to be able to step back now and make sure those processes are also convenient, because people do often go through those processes, and in particular they go through those processes early in the life of an OGS journal. We don't want to turn them off of the system as part of that process. So we'd like to further...
Mm-hmm. So they learned how to do that XML import, so they're going to do that to create new articles for future journals.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I've just had two good requests for it. Is it in particular the ability to clean up ghosts, or is it the ability to more easily import? Okay, there are two processes in place. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the so-called expedited submission process. If you're logged in both as an editor, or if you have an account that has roles both as editor and as author, if you then submit an article, and I can provide with details if you like on this one, if you then submit an article, when you finish the submission process, you'll be presented with a link that says, basically, this is already a published article, I just want to rush it through the process and directly into publication. And so if you click that link, you get to skip all of the review process, the copy editing process, and so on, and just go right to publication. I don't recommend using it for large-scale back issue imports, because in that case, the XML process is more recommended. But if you're jumping a few articles through, if you already have the PDFs and you don't want to go through that process, it is there. As far as a more intuitive batch import for large-scale back issues, Christo, who I saw back there, there he is, he's got a process in place. It's I'm not sure what state it's in. I'm not sure if it's something he's able to contribute back, but that's one thing we've been discussing. Fantastic. And if it happens that that's not a possibility for whatever reason, then it is becoming an increasing priority for us. So I can't necessarily give a timeline because that's up to Christo.
We have time for one more question.
Okay. Well, actually, it's a few questions rolling for one.
Okay.
the usage reports, are they counter compliant? And is there a way to get consult your usage reports? One of the reasons I'm asking and interested in is we help a lot of publishers and hopefully OKS users actually disseminate content in China. And one of the requirements at the national government level is you can get this consultative counter compliant usage. But one of the other barriers to access to the Chinese universities is actually most of the larger online hosts like the Hiwis and Ingentas and Atacons have had to either put servers within the China network.
Right.
And where there's a way that could facilitate for OGS users to have a kind of China portal. I've been talking to John and Heather from Spark and Roly as a way to kind of just as that big kind of nation of scientific kind of users be able to reduce any barriers that are there.
Do you want to answer the second question first and Kevin answer the first question second?
You can take it.
That sounds confusing.
I'll leave it to you.
Okay, I'll start with counter compliance. We did implement counter compliance within OGS. It is a plugin. Again, with some of the plugins that we've implemented, they're not always easy to find, and I would like to make that process easier. There is a document on how to set it up, and people often don't read that because it's hidden. So we do have the initial counter compliant reports. One thing that we haven't been able to clarify within our own development group to the level I'd like to clarify is what sorts of different multi-journal sites there are. So the counter plugin right now, I believe, reports on all journals within a single OGS installation. And we're supporting, I believe, one of several different kinds of counter compliant reports. If you have specific requirements for plugin reports, please let me know what those are. Take a look at the existing plugin, and if there's ways we can improve it, let me know, because that's something that I wrote without having a lot of experience with, and I'd like to get some feedback from users. The second part as to having some, I believe you're talking about having some sort of hosting environment or presence within China?
Or a mirror.
Or a mirror?
Yeah. We've actually helped facilitate that for a number of publishers and we'll be very happy to help. The place most people seem to put them is within the Tsinghua University Library. If anybody has a need, but I can see there could be a kind of collection of OGS users where you could get some kind of economy of scale.
We've had a couple of people mention, Ramon in particular mentioned that he'd like to see mini chapters of PKP developers and users and so on. We do have a few of those that are formed unofficially, and we'll have a number of those. We have a number of those across Canada, I guess, semi-officially, although not to the level of distributing the source code itself and doing support, I believe, at this point. If you're in touch with John, it's already on his mind and becoming increasingly so as we get feedback from the conference. We've had several people say they're going to be working on it. I may have seen a partial translation completed. The trouble is that it's very difficult for us to find a Chinese translation if we don't know what to search for. So there are, I believe, some partial translations out there in the wild. We've had people come to the support forum and say, I'd like to work on this, or who's working on this, or I am working on this. But we haven't seen a completed translation yet.
Well, I want to thank you very much. If your question's brief, we can take it. We have to wrap up, but please go ahead.
I think making reviewers by section editors may not be the right choice in some circumstances. I think it's better to invite people to review for a particular paper, to register themselves.
Right. Sorry, do you mean that reviewers will be able to choose to review a particular article as opposed to being assigned, or? So if a reviewer doesn't have an account, and the journal manager would like to invite the reviewer to join the set of reviewers within the system, and then invite to review an article.
And have the abstract and the invitation.
Yeah, okay. I'll write that down.
Well, I want to thank you very much for your suggestions and for attending the session, and thanks again.